praise his name. Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads as we open the service. Father, Lord, and King, how we adore you and praise you. Father, we're here only because of your grace, your mercy. Father, you give us health and strength in our bodies. And Lord, most of all, a desire to come. Lord, it's so good to serve you. Lord, serve a living God. Oh, Father, bless the word, Lord, as we hear it tonight, Father. With great anticipation, we wait. Lord, what do you have for us? Lord, may we draw closer to you somewhere, so Lord, Lord, that we may leave and be able to say it's truly been good to be here.
Yes.
Lord, and bless every phase of the service, even the few songs you've laid on our hearts. Lord, may it just settle us, clear our hearts and our minds. Lord, that you may have complete control of everything. We ask this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Turn on any blue books with me. Amen. I'd like to start on page 37. Amen. Have thine own way. Truly just want to yield to him and everything we are. Have thine own way.
That I may not reach till I rest.
the little chorus together. It's on 424. We all know it. So glad I'm yours, Lord. Yes. Amen. Are you glad that he owns you? Yes. Amen. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad. Heavenly Father, how I appreciate you. Amen. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, precious Jesus. Oh God, how we just truly do adore you. praise you. So thankful, Lord, that you truly do keep your eyes. Lord, you're always there. Whisper away. Father, when something happens and we're in the depths of despair or prayer problems or tests here on this earth, Lord, you're right there with us all the time. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that, Lord, the times I've called for you, you answer. Lord, we're so grateful for that. Lord, the word that you give us, the revelations, Lord, that gives a place to stand on. Oh, when the enemy comes and tries to make us doubt, Lord, we can point him back to the word. It is written. Oh, Father, it's so wonderful to know you. Lord, bless and touch each and every heart. Lord, the hands that are raised, meet the needs behind them. Lord, we truly give you the praise and the glory and honor. We ask all this, Lord, in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Let's all stand, if you will. And of course, only believe is ask our brother to come. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Precious Lord, it's already been good to be here. Yes. And we thank you, Lord, for to feel your presence and to know you're ever mindful and ever with us. And Lord, we just humbly come to this portion of the service, and Lord, just asking your blessings upon your word. The Lord, through it, something would be said that would strengthen or encourage and cause us, Lord, to press a little more, draw a little closer to you. And Father, we just ask you to open up our hearts to these things. Lord, we've read them many times, but maybe it just strike a new chord in our heart, Lord, or mean a little more to us. And as only you can add to it, Lord, in our hearts. And we just ask you to dip it in now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Aren't you happy? Amen. It's a wonderful opportunity to be here. Amen. And to come in with saints of like precious faith and to feel worship in spirit and in truth. And just to feel that special sweetness of the Holy Spirit, one with another. While you're still standing, if you would, let's turn our Bibles back over to Romans, the 8th chapter. I'm going to read the scriptures that I read last Thursday evening and kind of go a little different direction. Just praying, you know, it might seem repetitious, and if you can't see yourself in these scriptures, then it's not too exciting. But if you can apply it and realize that it's, these things were written speaking of you and yourself, how much real and greater it becomes to you and how much sweeter it becomes. But here in Romans, we'll start there in Romans the 8th and just read that 29th verse. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. May the Lord bless you in his word. You may be seated. I want you to think as Paul is saying these things, and we'll go to Romans 12, and just listen as Paul, we've read these things over and over, but oh, just let it just speak to your heart. But I beseech you, Romans 12, 1 and 2 and 3. But I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then just listen as Paul, as he's quoting these things, and he goes to say, for I say through grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And all, if any good be seen in our lives, it's because of the measure of faith that he has dealt to us. Nothing we've done in ourselves, nothing we'll do in ourselves. And as we read these scriptures and remind ourselves, I just want you to notice that. If you want to turn with me to Colossians, the first chapter, and let's read this again. We're going to read all the way, we're going to start in the 15th and read all the way down to about the 28th verse. And just listen. As he says here, we'll start at the 14th verse. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And how, just think, as we read in Genesis, as it all began to unfold, everything worked exactly the way he said it would. The word went forth, and the manifestation and the evidence showed that it came to pass.
And he says, and we're created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, and by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet hath he reconciled. He already done it. It's finished. Amen. In the body of his flesh through the death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. It didn't seem where I was doing it. He said he was going to do it. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations and is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known. Who made it known to you? You know, we might come in here and we can say, there's been a prophet, but who was speaking to you and I through that prophet? God was making known. What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Just think of that. As Paul began to write these things and speak these things out forth, who was making known these mysteries and declaring this glorious gospel? Jesus Christ, using the mouths of his prophets to declare his mouthpiece to you and to I, what he was going to do through a people in this last day. And oh, we can look back down through time and see God fulfilling every promise that he said he would do. Yes. The riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Yes. So I want you to think about that as we are here today, and our pastor's been mentioning many times on finishing the work and realizing that there's a work for each one of us to do. We've been sent here for a purpose. God predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. As individuals before God, that ought to be striking in our hearts. Amen. Foremost and above all else in this life, it don't matter where I work, where I live, what I own, or what I don't have. But I was sent here for the purpose that he, through me, could vindicate and manifest himself the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
And in the message, the spoken word is the original seed. And Brother Branham was reminiscing back across the where the Holy Spirit had told him to take up his pen and write. And I want to read this as he put it down here. And he says here, now here's what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction bring forth of its kind, Genesis 1 and 11. And these last days, the true church bride comes to the headstone, will be the super church. A super race as it nears that great headstone. And I want you to notice the little things he says. They will be so much like him.
Yes,
even they will be in the very image in the order to be united with him. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God.
Yes.
Not our ideas, not our creeds, not our personalities, not how we feel, not what we want to be. But we must be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Denominations can never produce this. They will produce their creeds and dogmas mixed with the word and bring a hybrid product. The first son was a spoken seed word of God. He was given a bride. He says, I'm just reviewing. The Spirit now picking up what I said, a bride to produce himself, and she fell. That's what. And the bride was given to produce himself again, another son of God, but she fell by hybriding seed. And he goes, the second son, the spoken seed word of God, was given a bride like Adam, but before he could marry her, she had fallen also, for she was put to free moral agency like Adam's wife was, to believe God's word and live, or doubt it and die. And she did. Then from a little group of true seed of the word God will present Christ, a beloved bride, a virgin. And now he's talking about who's going to be there.
Yes.
By God's grace, we've been called to that purpose. One of many. But as you got to see yourself in that true seed word group. Mm-hmm. That little group of true seed of word. God will present Christ, a beloved bride, a virgin of his word. Mm-hmm. And through them and by them will be fulfilled all that has been promised for his word and the virgin who knows no man's creeds or dogmas.
Lord.
The word of promise in himself like it was in Mary. God himself made manifest. Who placed that body? Did Mary have anything to do with that? Nothing. Nothing. God placed he created the blood cell. He created the egg and put it all right there where it needed to be. Placed it in the womb of Mary that it would bring forth for his glory. That it was him that did it all. There was nothing, no man-made work there, but what God placed inside. The word of the promise in himself, like it was in Mary, God himself made manifest. He will act himself by his own word of promise. So to fulfill all that has been written of him as he did when he came from the virgin womb, type of the spirit womb now, so will the virgin now, accepting his word, be it unto me as thou hast said. Though it was said by an angel, while it yet was the written word, Isaiah 9 and 6. They will love him and love his and will have his potentials, for he is their head and they are his subjects, subject to his head. The headship of Christ was his. Notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he seen of the Father, or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ, see John 5 and 19, so will the bride. And he shows her his word of life. He shows her and she receives it. She never doubts it. And nothing can harm her, not even death, for if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Then I got a great big hallelujah. Here is the secret. The word is in the bride in the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word, and she does it in his name. She has thus saith the Lord, and then it's germatized. So the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves its purpose. And they do only his will. And he says, amen, I believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. And then they will do the works of God, for it is himself in them, continuing his word to fulfill as he did complete in his days all things when he was here. He did not complete it all when he was here, for it was not yet time. And I want you to think about that. As we can see, God sent a prophet in this last age. And we see the works that he done through that prophet. And we can truly see that was God declaring himself. Showing forth that he was on the scene to grab attention of a little bride. The Holy Spirit manifesting and working through a body of a man to take him under his control, that he would be so surrendered to the Spirit that whatever the Spirit wanted, that's what he did. And it was so vindicated that he was sent for that purpose and the manifestations that was taking place in his life. And we're not all prophets. We all weren't sent for that purpose. But God said he would have a people that would declare to this nation and to this generation that he is alive. And how, as we stop to think about this, we see people all over the land today going about with their mouth claiming he's risen and he's alive and he rose from the dead. But what about a people that, as Brother Smith often quotes, that preach always but use words when necessary? And how our lives should be a daily testimony preaching forth this glorious gospel, that it has become part of me and that Jesus Christ has fellowshipped me and in taking and partnered in living himself inside of me and bringing this body under subjection to God's ever precious word.
Yes.
And this is in the message, It Wasn't So From the Beginning, preached June 30th, 62. Brother Branham says, paragraph 13, he says, now we take our Lord when he was here. He did not claim to do miracles.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was the Father and the God that dwelt in him. He expressed God through himself. God and otherwise built himself a body that he lived in himself. And God came down and was manifested in the flesh in Christ. It was not Jesus, the body, the Son of God. It was God of glory and the Son of God showing the glory of God. You see, through himself, the God of glory, manifesting the glory of God in him. God dwelt in him and he reflected God. And that's the way each of we ministers do. We reflect God as God is in us. And then that's the only way that God can move. And people see God is through we, his servants. People won't read a Bible, but they'll read you. And as you reflect Christ, your walks, your talks, and your actions all reflect Christ. You might not think people are watching you, but they're watching every move you make. And you are a Bible to many people. Therefore, we got to watch what we do, our business deals, everything that we do in our entire walk. Just yield yourself to the Spirit, and God will reflect himself through you, as I said, like a vine. Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine and ye are the branches. And well, now remember, the vine does not bear fruit. It's the branch that bears the fruit, but it gets its life from the vine. And how, as we go through life, sometimes we get to, it's wonderful to be able to quote the word, it's to be able to tell someone else about it. It's wonderful to be able to tell people how they should live and do and act. But oh, what about a people whose lives are just a generation of the book of Acts again in this last day? The acts of the Holy Spirit controlling what we say, how we speak, where we move, our every action being controlled by God's word to such a way. As I'll read this, and then this was in God's chosen place of worship. I preached February 20th, 1965. And we'll start here about paragraph 90. He says, God had a certain place. He met Abraham, and Abraham worshiped, and all down through the Testaments. And his promise word will be interpreted in you by him. I want you to notice, it's interpreted in you, but it's by him. Always the Holy Spirit working to prove what God has done.
Yes.
Did you get that? The word that he promised to fulfill in the day that you're living in. You will be a written epistle of God, read of all men. Not what you claim, but what God does through you will speak out louder than anything you could claim.
Yes.
God said, these signs shall follow them that believe. That speaks through you. He spoke of this age. What would be now? The believers of this age has to believe this. What he promised today, just the same today, had to come into the ark to be saved, to go out of Egypt had to be saved. They had to come into Christ to be saved now in the word message that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How do you get into it? By baptism? Baptism of what water? By the Holy Ghost. One Spirit. We're all baptized into this one body. And his promised word, you won't have to interpret it. He will interpret it through you, what you are doing, what he promised to do. The church that follows him will be so much like him. Think about that. So much like the precious word that's right here. That's all written of him.
Amen.
That little bride will be so much like him until the people will know. Look at Peter and John when they was questioned about healing a man at the gate called Beautiful. They said they perceived, those priests did, that they were both ignorant and unlearned men. But they had taken notice that they had been with Jesus. Because what? They were doing the things that he did. He must be about the Father's business, and today it must be the same.
Yes.
Think about the life of those apostles. They took notice of them. They weren't having to tell people. But it was evident that their life was reproducing exactly what they had seen Jesus Christ do. Seeing the works take place. And you say, well, you think we're all... No, it's not about great signs and wonders. It's about the life, the literal life of Jesus Christ today. His actions, the way he talked, the way he walked, the way he thought. Seeing our bodies come under subjection to his word. We are walking written epistles, read of all men. How we look around out here today, and people get so, even in denominational churches and even into the message churches, they begin to bring the carnality right into the church till it's joking from the pulpit and just... The whole thing is lost what God wanted and was looking for in a people. To be just like him. To be centered around his word. And to be totally in tune with what he was trying to do. And a people coming back in tune with God that he could move and act and reproduce himself through them in every action. But are we concerned about that? It's wonderful. We were very concerned about going to church. We're very concerned about knowing the prophet's message. We're very concerned about a lot of things. But are we truly concerned about the reproduction of that life in you and I? Seeing it vindicated and manifested back forth that my walking, what manner of people should we be in all holy conversation?
Yeah.
Think about the scriptures that's been left for us, the word that's written, how a wife should be under subjection to her husband in all things. and how a husband should love and rule over his wife and his home, and how children should act, and how the parenting should be. All of the word that God has left us, a people that's living and manifesting these things forth for all to see. Not because of a church rule, not because of, if I don't do this, I can't go to my church. How many people do you think would still be Amish today if they wouldn't get kicked out of their group if they didn't wear their little bonnet or drive their little horse and buggy if they could have that big tractor? But fear has bound them to their belief that to undo that, they've undone what God wanted for them. But there is a people that don't need a man's rule or regulation to hold them bound. But when the Gentiles do by nature the things that are written in the law, when the Spirit, Holy Spirit comes in and begins to take your body under subjection, and God's precious word says, don't do this and don't do that, and the body quickly turns to it. Yes. All by a nature and a desire that Jesus Christ placed down on the inside, a portion of himself and watered by the Holy Spirit, yes, to bring it to life and to manifest, yes, to prove that there will be another resurrection one of these days. And all we see this body already turning, seeing it come subject to God's precious word, and to realize that this is the mirror of God's word I'm looking into tonight. Every time I come in here, it's not just another church service. It's just not another opportunity to come and fellowship one with another. But I'm coming looking into the mirror of God's word to make sure that the reflection that's coming from that mirror looks just like he did. And starting to line up 100% and to find those places that may need to be trimmed. In the message, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, preached July 28th, 1963. We've read it many times and heard it many times. But he says, remember, think of it. A people born of his spirit in a day like this, in this great denominational age that we live, and the living God takes his living word and vindicates it personally. The life that's in the word, the germ that's in the seed, and the word is a seed that a sower went forth to sow, and the life is Christ. And in the word, personally in you, vindicating something that you cannot do, proving himself that it's not you, but it's him. And you become one, a love slave to him, to be a bride. And he said, thanks be to the living God who created the heavens and the earth and all that's in the midst. No wonder he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. He that which is and was and shall come, the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star, he is all in all. His presence in an individual with a personal vindication of himself, expressing himself, the living word that's promised for the day, expressing itself through a vindication of the great revelation of God. Look, only in an individual, never in a group. An individual, not in a group. His identification is with an individual. You get that? Not with the Methodist, not with the Baptist, not with the Presbyterian, not with the Lutheran, not the Pentecostals. And not with just the Capstone Life Tabernacle, but in an individual that's got the life of Jesus Christ living through them. And you know, it's such a time in which we're living. We can look out there and we see all this taking place, the chaos that's in the land and the turmoil, and we can say, it's marching right on time. We see it taking place. And oh, how we ought to be looking into God's precious word, making sure that as you know, as you get ready to take a trip and you might go in or go to a meeting or something, you go into the restroom, maybe you're combing your hair and brushing your teeth, making sure your collar's fixed right, putting your tie on right. How we ought to be looking in the mirror of God's precious word, making sure everything is just right and getting ready, because we're fixing to leave this world, saints. It ain't going to be long. And I want to be ready. I want to make sure there's nothing missing. I didn't forget to lace up one shoe or forget and leave a dirty spot down on the top of the toe or something. Yeah. But be ready and ready and waiting and ready to move in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. Here in the, let's see, this is also in Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. Yeah, we can pass over that for a moment. Amen. Let's see. This is in, there is a man here that can turn on the light, and this was preached December 29, 63. And he was talking about that, this is where he was talking about that little man with the Welsh revival, and just think about it. He said, about paragraph 188, he says, so they were, many of you remember the Welsh revival. A great revival broke out amongst the Welsh people in Wales. And so these men, these great big ministers and so forth, went from the United States. doctors of a divinity, and they wanted to go over and see what great things they had done, you know. And so as they was walking down the street, there was a little old policeman standing on the corner whirling his club around, you know, and whistling a hymn like that, and said, he's just whistling a hymn, and we might go up and see him and see what's going on. And why, ask him a question. And so they went up to him and said, sir, where is this Welsh revival at? And he tipped off his hat and he says, sir, the Welsh revival was held in here in his heart. And oh, that's it. He was the Welsh revival. And he says, oh God, if we can only understand that we are the reflection of Jesus Christ and his word made manifest. You are the reflection of his word. And where is that revival held? What building it is in? He said, sir, it's in my heart. He was the revival. That's right. And Brother Branham says, and today the church ought to be Jesus Christ in action upon the earth. Because I live, you live also. And my life will be in you. The works that I do, you will do also. The church has got to get to that place too. And he promised it would do it, and it will. It's got to come that way, you see, that's what takes place. And we've got to get that way. And how that ought to be burning in our hearts as we're facing and looking at life. Are we excited about what God is doing? Are we excited about what lays in store for us? Are we excited that God has fellowshipped us and given us this opportunity and brought us into this glorious gospel and made known unto us all of these things? And does it put a challenge in my heart and a cry in my heart, Lord, I want to be just like you in every way. I want every action, every motive, every thought to be captive under that precious word. Or do we just let it lightly rush off of us and just go on? It's wonderful to believe it. It's wonderful to tell people about it. And I'm so thankful that I know about it. But I don't get concerned with, Lord, is it being reproduced through me? And that's where we're standing. For if the Holy Spirit be in you and abound, it will make you that you should not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of these things. Think about the life that he lived. The life that was expressed through this Bible. It's got to be living and expressed through us in all actions. Every phase of life. Everything we face. Everything God set out to do. And he said he would present you holy and blameless and unreprovable in his sight. Think about it. He's going to have a people that will be without spot or blemish. And it's what he's going to do through them. But that people's not just going to haphazardly just say, oh, he's going to take care of me. No. There's something burning in their heart. There's a love affair that's going on that, Lord, they want to yield to him with all that's in them. And they're crying out, Lord, what can I, help me to yield, Lord. Show me what I need. Open up my eyes to your word. And they're just not going by blindly, I've got it all. I understand it all. I know exactly what he wants. But no, there's a cry in their heart. Lord, I need revelation more than anything in this life. Open up my heart, Lord. Maybe I've read it. Maybe I've heard it. I've heard it quoted or spoken. But Lord, is it vindicated in my life? That it's closed my mouth when it should. It's brought my actions under subjection to your word. And Lord, through it, people can see that you're living on the throne of my heart without me saying anything. Because they see the reproduction of that precious word. Oh, what the Holy Spirit will do. How many times the prophet laid it out for us. Of all the different times, how can you say you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and putting on your shorts? How can you say that he's living in you and this is taking place? How can you say? Look at the references we've been given. You don't have to wonder if there's life in that oak tree out there. It's showing forth in all the branches. It's showing forth in the little buds that begin to spring forth on it. There's life inside and it's working its way out and it will blossom into its full stature. And by God's grace, he placed the Holy Spirit within a people today to bring them to that full place. That through the watering and the preaching of his word, it would bring them to conform completely into the image and molded to his character. Yes. And there won't be one spot or one blemish, but he will finish this work in a people's hearts. Yes. But that people's got to be excited. Not just a jumping and a shouting group of people, but a people that down in their heart, that means more to them than anything in this life. What God will do through and for them. Yes. That they would get glory? No, that it would be to the praise of his glory and what he has done for us. Amen. Amen. I pray these things will continue to burn within our hearts for the purpose for which we've been sent. Our pastor has been preaching about finishing the work. We've been sent. We've got to see that we're one of those people that's been sent for that finishing touch. And it's not what I can do. It's not what I can comprehend in myself. But it's what he will reveal to me. And open up my heart to, and as I yield myself to him, he will bring that finished work for me and for you to a maturity right on time. And oh, do you think anybody will be able to say, oh, look what Brother Kevin did. No, it'll be look what God did. Oh, won't it be wonderful to see him glorified, see him lifted up, and to know that he is alive and living. He's not dead, but he is risen. And always, how do we know? Because he lives within my heart. Oh, my saints, may we be a people that's hungry to see God made real and alive. Not in the history, not tomorrow, but today, Lord, let me be a representation of your precious word that people can see you are alive and living today. Amen. Oh, may that burn in our hearts. As we see that everything he predestinated and everything he created is shining forth his glory. The grass, the trees, the flowers, it's all shining and declaring that he is alive. He's God. He created all things. And oh, he placed within me the seed of God that is laying there, the germ. He placed the watering on it, and he predestinated to bring this body under subjection to that word. And one day this old coat will fall away, and the real me is going to take my flight. Oh, by God's grace, I'm looking forward to it. I pray you are too. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. We ain't sang that in a while. Maybe we can sing that little chorus, He Lives. Amen. I know it's things we've read many times, saints, and we've heard it many times. But oh, if we could just ask God to open our hearts to the things which we have heard. And don't let any of it slip, as Paul encouraged us in Hebrews, to make sure that all of these things we're crying out, Lord, bring them back to my remembrance. Gel it all together. Every service, there's a purpose for us being here. There's a purpose in every scripture that's read. And God is working all things to the good of them that love him, who are the called according to his purpose. And by God's grace, I found myself in there. And I know that what he's doing for us is bringing me to the place he wants me to be. And I want to yield greater to him and say, Lord, let me be what exactly. Let it be to me. As it was, as you see fit. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Let's sing that little chorus, He Lives. You may have to help me, Brother Kevin.
He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me. Along life's narrow way, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives.
Sing it again.
Presence in your life, know he's placed a desire in your heart. That's such a blessing. Amen. So thankful again for the word tonight, the renewer of our minds. You know, as mentioned, like Brother Timothy mentioned it Sunday, as old Peter said, I fail not to stir your pure minds the way of remembrance. Amen. And we should exhort one another daily. That's what the scripture says. That's right. Talk about the word of God and measure yourselves up by it. Listen to it. Read it. Study it constantly. Because we're at the last few moments of time. And the Lord's about to appear. And I'm getting excited about it. Amen. Because there's sure nothing in this old world to look forward to. It just keeps getting darker and darker. Dirtier and eviler. every day. It's falling apart. But thank God for his mercy and grace that he's called us out. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, again, we're so appreciative that you allowed us and made it possible that we could be here this evening and to gather around the Word of God. We're just so appreciative of it. For it's our life, Lord. It's our food in life. It's our very meat that, Lord Jesus, we live by, and we're so thankful for it. And we're just so appreciative that you placed in our hearts, Lord, the desire for it. And we mention that many times, Lord, as we talk to you and through the way of prayer many times, I mention that to you. But Lord, I'm so thankful for all you've given to us. Just pray as we've gathered here tonight now that you'll just bless us as we leave this little place, and that we take this word in our hearts, and as David said, let us keep it always before us, that we sin not against you, Lord. And may we constantly just be being nurtured by it and filled with it and eat upon it all the time, Lord. So we pray that you'll just bless each one on the highway now and keep them safe, and bring us back the next appointed time if you should tarry. And Lord, is knowing that we know that it's Sunday, we commemorate Sunday as being the risen Christ, Lord. We call Easter, and Lord Jesus, may we see the reality and have the power of it in our lives in reality. We ask now that you'd help us, Lord, to receive that if we haven't. We ask in your glorious name, thy will be done in all things now. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Lord Jesus, richly bless you. You're dismissed, and he'll keep you safe.